This conference is being recorded.
Welcome to this edition of the broadcast on church communication and marketing strategy. You're with Randy and Donnie Vaughn, the marketing twins. And so we're excited that you're joining us on this call, whether it's live or you're listening to it on the replay. And so we're excited about the things we'll get to share with you today. This is a topic that has been a lot of people have really asked us a lot of questions about, and since we've had a previous recording and a broadcast about this topic, we've had a lot of good feedback on that broadcast, as well as other questions that people have about, particularly, what is your ministry's web strategy? And I say that because some people, and you may be one of those, maybe have said, you know what, we never really sat down and had a web strategy. What is our strategy? What is our plan, our objective? When we're looking at our ministry website or particularly our church website, what are we doing on this thing? You know, and the main thing that we talk about is rather than having your church website be just simply a photocopy of your bulletin, but just kind of line or your newsletter online or even something like a brochure online. That's what a lot of times our websites tend to be. It's just information, data just out there. But we want to share with you some ideas today that we hope that will transform and give some real strong, a good strong foundation, communication and marketing to your website. So we're excited about the things that we'll cover today, and we need to get started. So, Donnie, let me ask you, if you would just kind of jump in for those who are new to us, tell us a little about the definition of marketing, which we kind of, let's talk to everybody about that.
Absolutely, and before I get into that, I just want to remind everybody, since we are in a lecture-only mode, we have a lot to cover today, but if there is a question that you're just burning to ask, we have a couple, three ways to ask that question. You can, one, email us at church@marketingtwins.com, and we'll get that email and read it as we're talking here. Two, you can send us a Facebook message. And if you're on Facebook, find us and send us that. Or if you're on chat, you can do that. Also, we're on Twitter. If you want to send us a message, you can type that in and put the hashtag in. And for those that understand what that means, you'll know. I won't go into explanations of what a hashtag is. But if you'll put the hashtag of MKTG, that's for marketing, MKTG Twins, we'll get that message as well. We're monitoring all three of those throughout the call. Okay, like Randy said, we want to get into our definition of marketing. You could come up with a million different definitions of marketing from a variety of sources, but we want to keep it simple. And the duct tape marketing approach, which Randy is an authorized duct tape marketing coach for Fort Worth here, and we're excited about that. And the duct tape marketing book written by John Gents gives us a great definition that's a foundation for what we do, and we hope that it can be a foundation for what we're trying to talk about today. The definition of marketing as we look at it is simple. It is simply getting people with a specific need to know, like, and trust you. That is it. That's the definition of marketing. Now, we want to take that a step further and say, what is the definition of church communication and marketing strategy or church marketing? Sometimes that word church marketing kind of scares a few people, but we look at it this way. It is simply maximizing communication to get the message of Christ to the community. Let me repeat that. Maximizing communication to get the message of Christ to the community. Now, we are very upfront and say that we are not here to talk about how we can water down the message of Jesus and to present an unauthentic presentation of the discipleship of Jesus. That is not what we're about. We believe that we have the greatest message, and we want to make sure that people can get that communication out, and that's why we talk about maximizing communication, to get that great message to our community, and I think that's what needs to happen. And so, Randy, why don't you pick up and talk a little bit about how we're going to talk about websites, and pick it up from there. Okay, I think we may have lost Randy, so I'll tell you what, let's go into that. And yeah, you there?
I'm here. We're just having some difficulties today getting kind of all settled in, so. That's the problem. You and I both kind of tend to multitask, and I was over there getting something on Twitter, and you kind of threw the ball in my court, and I wasn't ready yet.
Okay, sorry about that. All right.
What one of the other things that I wanted to talk about as we do this, we need to talk about the idea that, well, you know what, I'm going to say that because I know we got to get into some of this. So let's see. Let's talk about first one of the things that I remember reading a couple of things in my blogs, and I've got a recent book that I would love to share a lot of that with you. But the thing that is most critical when you're talking about a church and ministry strategy is, you know, we talked about the idea of not looking at it through the eyes of, hey, how can we put our bulletin online or our newsletter online, and basically just say, hey, you know, let's repurpose the material. You know, there's a time to repurpose material, but let's not look at it like that. You have to really begin to, and nowadays, look at your website through the eyes of something like Facebook or a lot of the social networking is going on. People are almost expecting that our sites are a lot more interactive. And so we're going to make that part of our discussion today as well. A couple of weeks ago, we had a wonderful guest, Scott Meyer, who is the senior minister at a church in Temple, Texas. And he shared a quote with you, and I think this is exactly, Scott, if you're listening to this live or by the recording, if I butchered this, I apologize, but I think the essence of it is correct. And he said at their church, as we learn to be high-tech, we still need to be high-touch. And I think that's an important thing to realize. A lot of people, you know, we can't say, okay, a website is going to be an evangelistic strategy that's going to transform lives and create disciples and all of those things, probably isolated by itself. It doesn't have time to do that. It's simply because of its limitations. But one of the things that it can do is really come alongside of all of your, especially if you're a church, if you're looking to reach out to your community and you're really wanting to touch them in some way, it can act. You know, there's a lot of metaphors, you know, but primarily you can just think of it as like a front door. I mean, it's just a way to get people inviting them in. So the thing we want to talk about is some old ways, let me just kind of go through, not to be too critical, but let's just take an objective look at some of the ways we've done things in the past. You can look at ways, church websites and ministry websites tend to be all about education in terms of, you know, information and all of the events that's going on. Even to the, you know, we might announce, hey, we've got this upcoming program coming up, or just announce to the world, here's what we believe in, here's our values, and here's all the things that we believe in and we think are important. You know, there's also promotion of all the programs and events that we. So again, primarily, that is what has been the meat of most ministry websites out there. But that in itself, again, if you took a, we talk about this a lot with our small business customers as well, and we need to think about this in the same way. When we're reaching out to people, is our marketing materials, our marketing collateral, our marketing tools, such as our website, would you say, if you were to take an objective look at it, does it talk more about us or about them? And we all know it's not about us. It is about them, the people that are, that again, we're going back to the definition Donnie talked about, of being marketing, being people, or getting people with a specific need or problem to know, like, and trust us. So if we're trying to get people to know, like, and trust us, it can't just be about us promoting ourselves all the time. You know, it's kind of like if you were dating someone and you wanted to get married to that person, you're going to really have a lousy track record if all you do is go out on dates with people and tell them about yourself. You know, in Tennessee, we want to say, well, you know, that person's got to know me in order to like me and trust me. Well, part of that know and like and trust factor comes to do with an interaction, a communication, and finding out what the other person needs. And, of course, that's a biblical concept we can all draw from Philippians about looking to the interests of others. And so when you're looking at outreach strategy, you're obviously thinking about how to reach out to other people. And so your website needs to take on a similar way. Let's get away from informational-only websites and look at ways to spice up your website. Now, this is going to take us into five different areas in which we think church websites and ministry websites need to look at when they're talking about a web strategy, particularly when you know. And let's pause here for a second and say, you know, a lot of websites, you have an audience, but, you know, you have multiple audiences. You have your church members, and you're going to use your church website in ways that are going to communicate to your church members. And then there are going to be some things. You're going to need to put those out there so they can know when the baby showers are, when they know the mission meetings are, and they know, you know, those things are going to be essential on there. But let's talk about the people who are not coming to your church now. Maybe they're at another church and they're looking for something different, or particularly, we really want to focus on the idea of people who are they're not in relationship with Jesus Christ right now. They're not involved in the church. How do we connect with them? And so we're going to look at ways, you know, your church website might have a dual window. You know, you come to the website, there might be a section that says, are you a member? Then click here. Or are you a visitor? Then go this direction. That way you can actually begin to customize your site a little bit differently for whoever your target market is. But let's talk about particularly in ways of engaging with those who are visiting your website for the very first time or learning about your church for the very first time. So, again, we're going to talk about spicing up your website. So let's talk about number one, the first area in which you need to talk about you need to cover in your web strategy is to make sure your website is social. As long as it is some way that you're interacting, it's got to have an interactive component to it. You know, a lot of times there are churches that have, I think ming.com is a way that you can create kind of a unique social networking site for your church, or within your church, there might be a group or youth ministry might have a meme site. I know a lot of churches do that, and that's a way to have kind of an internal social networking site. But again, that's internal primarily. You could use that in a way to outreach. But let's talk about, you know, making sure your site interacts with people. So there's some ways that you can do that, but particularly one way that you need to think about doing is making sure your website has a way to interact with Facebook, maybe some MySpace. I think most, you know, they're probably, Facebook is really becoming much more popular, but also even Twitter, as it grows in popularity as well, people are going to be looking for ways that your church website interacts with those social networking sites. So you really need to think about how social is our website. So, Donnie, why don't you cover the next section after social, and we'll keep this thing going.
Absolutely. So we've gone through the first S is social. Now let's get into the second thing, which is P. And P is going to stand for participational. And what we mean by that is it's interactive. It's not top-down. It's contributor-driven is how we kind of look at that. And so let's talk about what we mean by participational. Again, we're not looking simply at a website is there so that you have a webmaster that's on your church staff or maybe a volunteer, and all you do is send out emails to that person, and that person dumps the data and content on the website, and everybody's happy because now we've got an updated website, and that's great. It is critical that you have an updated website. We are all about that. But if you just have it that, then all you're doing is having a one-sided conversation. And so part of that participational aspect or the interactive aspect is to be able to do more than that and go a step further. And that is, there's some things that you can do. You can share stories, have personal stories. You don't want to have just a long, here's the history of our congregation and list out a 2.5-page document and maybe a 5-page PDF file that's got pictures and all that. While that might be well and good, that can't be the only way that people can understand who that church is, because the church is about people. It's about the relationships. So you have to share stories. Have video on your site that tells the stories of the people, and have those kind of, you can use audio on your site. There are different features. You can go to marketingtwins.com and find some audio things that we use, and have those on your website so people can click on those and hear real people talking or see real people talking about how their lives have been changed by Christ and by what's going on at your church. And we really encourage that sharing. Again, we also want to encourage, you know, there needs to be RSS feeds on your site, podcasting, things of that nature, so that you're able to get the information and content on their time, not just on your time. You know, you want to have live streaming video on the site, we think that's an incredible way of reaching out. People come to your site and want to see a church service. That's a great way of doing it. But put some other things out there so that feeds to them, podcasting your sermons, things of that nature. Make sure that they're also a chance, a place for maybe articles by your members who could be written. And again, it's a part of the participation. Maybe you want to engage in some Skype and other things and utilize your website to do that. Maybe there needs to be an online chat feature. We love this idea that maybe a Tuesday at 1 o'clock, the senior pastor or the youth pastor or the children's minister or all of them are all going to be online for 1 hour, from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. They're going to be there. And if you have any questions about anything related to the church, to the message, to the Bible, to anything, you're there. And you're just available to take that chat and do that. And there's some ways that you can go about working with somebody to make sure that that's available on your website. There are a lot of things about online games. Maybe you need to have your children's ministry site so that you have a place. I think the DisneyChannel.com, you can go there. Playoff Disney, the Cartoon Network, they all have sites. And all of our kids watch their shows. And my kids are starting to do this. They immediately now say, well, let's go to the website and see if there are games on the website. If a movie comes out, recently we took our kids to see Night at the Museum Part 2, The Battle at the Smithsonian. One of the first things the kids did is said, can we go to the Night at the Museum website and see if there are games on there? Wouldn't it be great is if your kids wanted to go to your church website to play the games there as opposed to places that you're maybe not as comfortable with them going to? Get that interaction and participational, and I think that's a great next step. So let's move on to number three then. We've covered the S and the P, and now we're going to get into the I. The I being instructional. All right, so this is that we don't want to talk out of both sides of our mouth here, but we want it to be informative. We certainly do. We want to be able to tell people when our church service starts and how to get to our church, et cetera. But we want, again, let's take that and think of it from the visitor standpoint in mind. For instance, we maybe want to say, have a section on the children's ministry site that says, what will my children experience at your church? Or that's what they're thinking. So have a section on that says, here, you know, watch this video. We'll show you how things are going to happen. When you get here, you're going to drop your child off here. Here are the security measures we're going to take. Here's a sample of what the class looks like. Here's maybe part of the curriculum. You know, share what the experience is going to be. Maybe explain kind of how long is the service going to last. Some people want to know that. They want to know, am I going to be there for 2 or 3 hours? Is this a 45-minute? What am I getting into? Where do I go? Do I arrive at the top level, the bottom level? Is there a circular drive? Is there valet parking? Is there a place for visitors to park? Where do I go? Tell me, where do I have, is there an elderly drop-off section? Is there a maternity section where expecting mothers can park, et cetera? Offer all those things out there. You know, we talk about directions. One of the big sins of the church website, if you have on your website address to your church and you have not linked that to Google Maps or MapQuest or any online map service, you've committed that sin. You cannot do that. You have to nowadays be able to put in an address and then put that and link that over to I know Randy one time was going to a meeting at a church and he was driving around and he was having difficulty finding where to go. And if he did not have the ability to click on the map of the church to be able to take him there, and all it had was the address while he's driving, he couldn't very well stop and let me copy that over to the Google Maps and all that. You have to have that. And the same way, if I have to go to an extra step of copying that in, you may lose somebody. So you want to make sure you link that over there. And so those are some things from an instructional standpoint that you definitely want to be able to do. So we've covered the S and the P and the I. Now, Randy, I'm going to let you, if you want to, pick up on the conversational or the C. I kind of gave it away already. Why don't you pick up on what the C part is?
That's right. I was reading a book the other day by Kim Meyer. He is a really good author, and I've enjoyed some of the things he's about, particularly ministry communications. And I just love one of the quotes that she has, you know, he opens the title with his bad websites happen to good people. And that's what, you know, we don't want that to happen. We want to make sure we're changing these websites to be better communication tools, better marketing tools for our ministry, our church, what you're passionate about. Again, we're not trying to say it's going to, you know, replace your one-on-one evangelism outside the church. It's certainly not going to replace what happens when people come to the church. And more than anything, a lot, you know, especially with some of your marketing, it needs to be authentic, an authentic representation of who you are. There's nothing worse than saying, hey, we're going to slap up some really cool, slick stock photos of people. We're going to put some really flashy stuff on our site. And then people come there, and there's nothing that looks remotely like that. And so people would be turned off that real quickly because they're going to think, hey, you guys just created a slick presentation to lure us in. So, again, websites need to be authentic in that way. So let me read you a couple of things also as we get, but right before we get to the conversational. This is a list. I'm not going to all of them, but there's a couple of, this is from Tony Morgan, from TonyMorganLive.com. This is a guy I follow. I like a lot of what he says. And so this is, he talked about 10 easy ways to keep me from visiting church after I visit your website. So again, he's talking about little tongue-in-cheek kind of ways that we should not do things. Number one is don't avoid telling me what's going to happen at your church this weekend. So again, going the idea of being informational to people, giving them a sense of what's going to happen this weekend. Give them a sermon series. Tell them what they're going to experience when they get there. Maybe, you know, a lot of flights use the little flash, you know, thing where you have to click on the skip intro to enter the site, and somebody says he doesn't like that. The third one is, you know, add as many pictures and graphics and information to the homepage as you can to tell everything your church is doing. Well, again, simplicity is best when we're talking about communication. So, number four is, and this goes back to the map thing, make it as difficult as possible for me to get directions, service times, and information about what will happen with my kids. So, again, reinforcing that kind of concept that we talked about, how good the information needs to be on your site. And then just the last point says, try to sell me your church rather than telling me the benefits of our experience. And so, again, sometimes our websites tend to be all about us and not about them. It's not about what we are doing, but it's about what they'll benefit, what experiences they're going to have. So, again, as we go through this, I just make a website, making it social, participational, instructional. So we're going to continue the idea of this being conversational. Now, this is where we're really going to talk about the idea of how your website is transformed from a real stale, static, I mean, just almost dead-looking site, because we're going to begin to engage in, with our visitors. We're going to be inviting people to the site. The number, probably one of the best ways that you can do this is to have a blog on your site. And if you're a large enough church where you have multiple ministers who are able to do this, I would suggest as many blogs as you can get going out there. Your senior minister, your youth pastor, whoever it is, let them all be blogging. Because, again, blogging invites conversation. And so, again, giving people, again, maybe they're your site because they do want to know what are the service times, what is that program that you're offering. I saw an ad in the paper. I saw a billboard. I saw a direct mail piece you sent out. So I want to go to the website, find out more information. But if we're talking about conversation, hey, I'd just like to know a little bit more about who these people are and what they think. And so how do you make it conversational? And again, taking a blog, letting your senior minister. This is a great, a lot of you are thinking, immediately thinking, well, what am I going to blog about? You know, I'm so busy as it is, and how do I come up with, you know, a blog? And again, I would recommend you do it in a couple of things. One is decide, hey, every Monday morning, every Tuesday morning, I'm going to do it. I would say that if you can blog more than that, don't just do it every Monday, because again, unless that may be appropriate for your community, maybe your community is not in a point where they're blogging all the time, but if you're in a place where people are more accustomed to quick information, then you're going to want to be out there blogging more frequently. So, but taking that blog and doing it on a regular, consistent basis, blocking out of time, just like you would any other ministry that you're doing, you block out time already to check email. You block out time already to make phone calls. You block out time to visit the hospitals and those kind of things. Make some time to write some blog posts. And think about this as a way to initiate a conversation with people online. Because, again, a lot of people, you know, you just have to imagine the visitor who is checking out your site. They may have never even set foot in your door. They may have never even called you or anything. But, again, your web presence out there, a web strategy is to say, I'm going to make myself, we're going to try to open our doors a little bit and let them peek in to see what we're about before they even come here, before they even make any contact with us. So a blog is an excellent way to do it. A lot of you are thinking, well, what am I going to blog about? Repurpose that sermon. Most of you who are in full-time pastoral ministry and you're in the pulpit on a regular basis or your ministry is, I would recommend, most of you probably have some sort of written notes. Some of you even write out verbatim your sermon. That works for you. I would, especially if you have that or if you can just take the outline, use that as an outline. And most of the time, because most of your sermons are going to be 20 minutes or more, that can be turned into, that may be a full week's worth of sermons. So kind of taking that concept of what a lot of churches do now, they say, hey, we're going to have a sermon-based Bible study in our small groups, perhaps. You know, you kind of continue the discussion is what a lot of churches do. This is an excellent way to continue the discussion as well, online through your blog. So taking that sermon and then repurposing that into one, two, or three different blog posts throughout the week to say, hey, I'd like to further discuss with you what I meant. So maybe you cut and paste what from your sermon, but maybe you kind of turn that into say, I'm going to take out this paragraph, repurpose that paragraph, and then maybe ask a question or two of your audience, and then see if the conversation begins. Maybe it resonates with somebody. Encourage your church members to go there so that they begin conversing as well. And again, you've got to think in terms of a strategy when you're doing this, because a lot of times what might happen is the church people are conversing with the minister or the pastor on his blog, kind of oblivious to the fact that there might be somebody else reading this who's not familiar with the church, not familiar with the inside jokes, not familiar with the language and all those kind of things, and we can really distance ourselves. Even on the blog trying to be conversational, we can tend to be exclusive in the way we interact. So you've got to have a strategy behind it. Encouraging people when they come on that blog to interact with you, but keeping in mind there's other people reading those blogs and reading the comments on those blogs that they don't necessarily make a comment. They don't write out their piece of the conversation, but they're just watching how you act. And so it may not be the time for you to throw out your some of your coarse joking, as the scriptures would say, or some things like that that might look offensive or might look a little strange to someone just because you're trying to have some fun and on the blog with your minister. But just keep in mind that there's other people watching as well. So, but it's a great way also to talk openly. Take that sermon series on grace. And really, I mean, all of you who have ever preached before know that you would rather have like 2 hours to explain a point sometimes than what you're usually given in the pulpit on a Sunday morning. So this is a chance to do that. So going the route of blogs is a great way to really start the conversation. So, again, you're going to have to decide, are we willing to have some disagreement, even some debate on the side? I was talking to a church this past week. And they were really basically decided up to this point they were going to have a real closed communication style because they were arguing the point on the blog that, hey, someone could come on the blogs and write some real, you know, disagreeing comments or even offensive comments about our church or something they've read about, and they didn't want to have to deal with all that. And I understand some of that about reputation management and those are things that are difficult. But I also argue with them is to say, you know, they're going to talk about you anywhere. I mean, they're already talking about that with somebody. So by inviting them to your site, getting the conversation going, even debating with them on the site, you have a chance to, you're not going to win everybody, but even in those debates and arguments, you can, whether you win the debate or not, you might have a chance through that blog and through your comments, they will interact with somebody who, again, they've never set foot in your church, but you don't even know who they are. But on your blog, you're able to engage them in conversation just as you would if you were sitting in a coffee shop with them and you're having a real life conversation. That may take place over several days or weeks or even months, where that person who is really wanting to see, they want to see how deep this goes with Christians. You know, people come and they're looking at churches all the time. They're coming with their suspicion. You know, we've got enough background, unfortunately, in the church that, you know, people are going to come at this suspicious. They're looking for hypocrisy. And this is an opportunity to turn that conversation into an opportunity to showcase our authenticity and the depth of our faith so that we can have a real life, even if it's a debate, a conversation with people. And that, I think there's some real opportunities. Some of you who are really good at writing might even be better writing than you would be confronting someone face-to-face in the coffee shop on an argument. Give you a chance to really write out some thoughts that are good, that really with an outreach strategy, a mindset that says, hey, I want to engage this person in a real authentic conversation. So, again, those are some good ways to do it. Another way to make your website a little more conversational with people, similar to what we talked about before, but having a, you know, I was looking at a church site the other day, and what they did, and I thought it was a pretty cool feature, they took a short video, well, actually, theirs was a little bit long, but I would, you know, cut down to a few, 5 or 10 minutes, I think. They could have accomplished the very same thing. But again, they came up with the idea of, hey, let's present a video of the gospel. And so what they did is they basically kind of reenacted the pastor with someone in there, someone who's new to their church. And the pastor basically, or I think he was a pastor or somebody on staff who was a minister, basically was able to train to teach this person visiting about the gospel. Kind of gave them a real pure gospel presentation using, you know, a napkin and, you know, things like that. And so the video captured that. And while it was a simulation of a conversation, it wasn't a real-life conversation, but it was a simulation of a conversation. But it made it, I thought it was really, again, somebody watching this who was looking at, you know, maybe, again, they're skeptical. They're suspicious. They've heard about church. Maybe they grew up in church, but they haven't attended in a long time. Maybe they have their own because of what they were taught or some problem in their background. They never really heard the pure gospel message. A video might capture their attention just long enough to, you know, again, 5 to 7 minutes, maybe a real good quality video presentation of the gospel might be a way to, again, engaging people in a conversation. And you might even, at that point in time, offer a chance there online to follow up. Maybe it's an opportunity to say, if you watch this video and you really like that video and you want to ask some more questions, just click here. There's a little form, very non-threatening way. Give us your name, and if you'd like us to communicate with you by email, maybe even do it anonymously if you'd like. And or maybe it's a live chat feature that Donna talked about earlier. Or maybe it is. Maybe it's if you would like for us to call you on the phone and set up a time to come to your, meet at Starbucks or meet at the coffee shop to talk about it. We'd love to do that. And again, it's you're making yourself conversational. You're making yourself available to people by using the tools of your website, the video tools, the blogging tools, as a way to have a conversation with people. We talked about the idea of being social, making your website participational, giving them the right kind of instructional information that they need to get to your site, to get to your church building, to know what's really going to happen there, but also a conversation. And this is really important for you to have a kind of a missional mindset of when we're conversing, when we're talking with, you know, again, our websites tend to be all about us. We're talking about us, hoping that what we say about us resonates with them. Well, most of the time when we're just talking about us, then we're not really meeting any new people. But a blog has an opportunity for someone who, you know, maybe you have a real heart for helping people with their marriage or finances or those kind of things, but you just don't want to give the pulpit time to that kind of topic. You want to give that to something else in the scriptures, you know. And so this gives you an opportunity to lay out some blog posts about marriage and finances and biblical ways of raising kids and all those kind of real relevant topics that people that I think would really resonate with people. So anyway, those are all some ways to have some conversation with the people visiting your site. So, Donnie, are you able to take us into our kind of final point on this topic?
Absolutely. I think we've gone through the SPIC. Let's end with the E, which is experiential. How do they experience your church website? And that's what we're going to end on our conversation today. We look at this as we want there to be a rich user experience when they come to your website. How can we do that? With some of these, and you'll notice from what we've been talking about, there's some overlap in some of this. You know, conversational, we talk about blogs, but also, you know, it's good conversational and participational kind of overlap. We talk about the social interaction, also could be about the experiential. So there's a little bit of overlapping. So we're going to mention a few things that we've already talked about and some new things. One idea you could put using sermonettes and little small snippet videos, be able to say, here's a 5-minute sample of how our minister makes the Bible practical for everyday life. You know what? You could show some archive footage of a sermon. That's perfectly fine. But not everybody's going to have the chance to, not going to have a chance to go watch that. Nor are they going to. You don't want that kind of information right on your homepage. You want that where those people are going to watch that need to find that. But if you wanted to have a 5-minute sample, have that pretty prominent somewhere to get to, either on the site, on the homepage, or just one click away to be able to see that. And I'll have some use your Flickr accounts and be able to put pictures and some other things up there. That would be one way of doing that. We talked earlier about podcasting and utilizing that, utilizing the podcasting features, iTunes, all of that, rolling that in there, using the RSS feeds to put it on their time when they need it. And those are great things. I know a lot of people that, in a way, it's kind of like the TV thing. If somebody asked me what time a show starts, I may not necessarily know that show's a Thursday night at 7 o'clock show, because nowadays we don't think in those terms. We think of, I'm not sure when the show starts. All I know is it's on my TiVo or my DVR, and I'll get to it when I get to it. You kind of forget. The whole NBC used to have must-see TV on Thursdays. And I would argue that a lot of people don't sit down from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock and watch TV that long at one sitting. Maybe there are still some people that do, but I know a lot of people. I know it because I'm on Facebook or I'm on Twitter and somebody's kind of commenting about the show, and you see other people saying, hey, don't spoil it. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And in today's world of different events we have going on with our children or different things at work, we can't always say, we're going to eat dinner at 6 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, we're going to sit down and watch TV, and we're going to sit there for 3 hours and watch 3 of our favorite shows. And at 10 o'clock, and that's how life works. It just doesn't work that way. So in the same spirit, you may not always have people that can come to your church exactly when you're there. And they may not always be able to hear your sermon when you're doing it. So make those available on podcasts, iTunes, and have that RSS feed available so that people can hear it on their terms when they need it. And I think that's a great thing to do. The streaming video, we talked about that. We know some churches that have recently started doing that. And that is an amazing thing. When you talk to people, the church that we attend in Fort Worth has just recently started doing this. And I know people in faraway towns. I know the people across the nation as well as across the world are now dialing in. I use that term there's a lot, not too many people that dial into the internet anymore, but they get online and they go to the church website to just watch the service. I mean, it's not just the sermon too, it's the whole worship experience. And you can do all that. I mean, what a great ministry for people who are ill. Maybe somebody, I know a lot of, we have three children. There was first few days when the baby was born. You say, I'm not going to go to church for like 3 weeks until my baby's ready to go to church. And there's always the concern about germs and stuff like that. Now all these new mothers don't have to say, I wonder how church was. They can sit right there on their laptop or look in front of their computer and watch church while their husband is up to church with the other kids. I think that's a great thing. Again, maybe you've got somebody who wants to experience your church, but they go to another church and it gives them a chance to experience that. Or better yet, that person who says, I don't know if I trust church. I know what the church was like when I grew up, and it was stale. It was robotic. It was whatever it was that they did not like. And they said, I don't trust that. And so getting to that know, like, and trust we talked about, One way you can work towards that is to say, I'm going to have streaming live video of our worship time there on the site. And you're going to have somebody, I already know, I've had somebody say, well, doesn't that detract and keep people from coming to church? They're just going to sit on their computer and watch the service all the time. And I would say that more than likely, if your sermon is meeting the needs of those people, they're going to come to the church and connect, and that's just a part of it. You want to connect to them in other ways so that they don't say, well, I'm just going to do it from the comfort of my couch and we never interact with them. There are other ways, and we've already talked about other ways to interact with them. They don't necessarily have to come to your building to be a part of your church. That's a real controversial statement there, but it's, you can do that. We think there's great things to be held within the body of Christ at a church to get involved in ministries and so forth. So I don't want that to be misunderstood. But you can touch the lives of people before they even step foot in your building. And I think that's something that we can do and accomplish through things like streaming live video. Twitter, there needs to be someone monitoring Twitter for questions that people have about your church. We do it for our business. You can do it for your business, your organization, or your church. Go into Twitter, search for that, and monitor. Are there people that come on Twitter and say, I had a great time at XYZ Church this morning? You interact with them and say, hey, thanks. What, you know, what was it you liked about it, et cetera? And then there's that person that says, all I know is that this guy that I met at this church, he is not authentic, and I don't like it. People share that kind of information in Twitter and other areas, and there's ways that you can search for that and stay in contact with people and establish relationships that way. So have somebody monitor that. Maybe you need to do a sermon right where you're doing it, and you have a laptop right next to you. Your church set up the Wi-Fi in your church building, have someone right there monitoring the questions that come in, and you do your entire sermon based on the questions that come in, either through a blog or through a chat on Twitter, something like that. Those are great interactive, experiential ways of attending church, and using that through your website is a great way of doing that. It's making sure that you have things on your site that give people an experience. So that's some things we want to talk about on that.
Can I jump in on that a little bit about in a lot of circles they call it reputation management, and that sounds a lot bigger and more formal than it really needs to be, but it's basically the idea of online management of your reputation is simply be aware of what people are saying about you, and if it's good, you want to reinforce that, and if it's a negative experience, how do we counteract that? Again, we're not here to debate them on what, you know, and convince them that they had a wrong experience with them. If they had a bad experience, they had a bad experience. Maybe they didn't get the full picture, but they had a bad experience. So, again, you're trying to correct that. You're trying to, again, think it in terms of customer service. If you want somebody to come back and you want them to be loyal, then you want to know if someone had a real negative experience. It doesn't mean you can make it all right. It doesn't mean you can satisfy their every need. And you know, there's some people that you just can't make happy. But there's some ways to maybe offer something, another take on something that maybe someone didn't understand, or maybe they did encounter somebody at your church who maybe was not the best representation of what your church is. But let me talk about that a little bit. And this is something that I think we need to, I want to be careful the way I present it. So, but again, Nadi talked about the idea of, you know, people are talking about you already, whether they're writing about on your blog or they're doing Twitter feeds about their experience at your church. People are nowadays much more open in sharing things about their experiences. So, again, Donnie mentioned the idea of going on the Twitter search and putting in your name there in Twitter and finding out what people are saying about you. Maybe it's your name, your pastor's name, your church's name, whatever, and just seeing, again, reinforce the good, converse about the negative experiences. As well, you can do Google News Alerts. I think it's alerts.google.com. I think, Donnie, is that the right website for that? I think,
Yeah.
Google, you put in alerts, type in alerts in the search term, you're going to come up for, set you up a Google News Alert, it's going to come right through your email. We do this on a number of topics for our clients, for ourselves, and it just, again, it helps you kind of get a feel. Google will go out and send their little crawling spiders out there on the web and find those keywords, again, your church's name, maybe even your pastor's name, and find out what's being said out there. You're gonna even be amazed what's being said. Maybe on somebody else's blog out there that you didn't even know existed, but maybe they came to your church. Maybe they watched you online on one of your streaming services, or maybe they listened to one of your podcasts, you know, and they wrote about it, but you didn't even know who they were. So that's, again, the idea that it's being talked about. Are you aware of it? And another one, and this might surprise a lot of people, but if you go out and do a search, check what people, not a lot of people do this, but there are a number of people who do this. They will go to, like, a Yahoo Local is a really big one. Make sure you have a presence there on Yahoo Local. You have a local profile. Go to Yahoo Local, and you'll just go in there, and if you don't already have a profile for your church set up, that would be an excellent way to establish a good profile there, some good pictures, link backs to your sites, and those kind of things. But I tell you, that's where people write it's the reviews, just like they would go if they went to a restaurant, if they went to an automotive repair shop. They will go to Yahoo Local, and there are other review sites like it, but Yahoo Local is one of the more prominent, and people will write about their experience. I'm looking at one right now as I'm sitting here, and fortunately for this church, they have, let's see if it says, I don't see how many, but it's a dozen, maybe. Primarily, most everybody is happy with their experience. You know, they talked about going to this church. They were very new in town, and they had searched for a church, and they found the kids were great, and the worship service was wonderful, and they had a good experience, you know. But there was one that, it wasn't a real negative experience, but it did say that, hey, my teenager went there and no one talked to her. But other than that, we had a great experience. Well, that would be a real opportunity for you to try to reach out to that person. Maybe you can go to their profile and see if you can find a way to interact with them and say, hey, if you happen to be reading this again, and you're the one that wrote that about your daughter having it, I would love to have a chance to sit down with you and your daughter. I am so sorry we messed up and we just got busy on ourselves, and we would love to make that right, and we'd love to buy you a cup of coffee and take that to lunch and just get to know you. If you were in our church and we failed to talk to you, then we messed up, and we'd like to make that better. You know, that'd be a cool way to reach out to somebody, but being aware that conversation is going on already about you. Again, taking your website, and a lot of this is not just your website, but it's beginning to look at Facebook and Twitter and the Yahoo Local and looking at the whole web as all of it together and looking at ways how we can engage in that. So, again, most of this call we've been talking about is your specific website. But, again, we can't lose sight of the fact that if you don't have a good web strategy for your personal or your church's website or your ministry's website, then you probably don't have a good strategy for playing around on the Internet and interacting with the people on the web. So, again, step back for a little bit. Take some time. Really strongly encourage you to set out a communication strategy, a marketing strategy of how do we communicate with people online. What do we say? What do we want to reinforce? And certainly your own website is going to be a real prominent piece of that. Your blogs are going to be a real hub of information as well as conversation. But as well, being aware of those ancillary sites out there that are also engaged, that you can engage with, like Facebook, Twitter, the Yahoo Local, and a number of other places like that. So those are some things that we wanted to share with you today. Donnie, I had a question that I wanted to throw your way. And someone wrote in and said that they're way behind on using things like Facebook and YouTube and blogging, and it's really overwhelming to know where to start. Where do we start first? How would you answer that one, Donnie?
And they're asking about YouTube. What was the three things they mentioned there specifically?
You know, they mentioned Facebook. They mentioned Facebook, YouTube, and blogging. Where do we start first? And how would you answer that?
Well, I guess it would. I would say it depends on where your audience is going to be residing. It's not about you, it's about them kind of thing. And if you know that there's people at your church who are doing a lot of blogging, or you know that they're heavily involved in Facebook, then that might be your place to do that. Or you may have your strategy of saying, look, we want to go out and reach people in this demographic, in this area, or something to that effect, and you know that they're real big in the YouTube community, then that may be an area that you want to start in. I think the idea would be is to get started, and because you can't be too late at this point. You just need to get started, and you'll catch up and get going on that, I think, really soon. I think one of the things that you don't want to do, and I hope I answered the question, but I'm also adding another thought here, is you don't feel like you have to do all of it at one time. You know, as I've heard people that are heavy in social media talk about, you know, if you check your email once a week, and because that's all you do, and you don't even know really how that works, but you check it just because somebody told you to check it, you don't need to get worrying about Twitter and getting involved in that kind of thing. You need to find somebody at your church who's maybe more educated than that and let them get involved in that. But if you have an interest in doing that, I would encourage you to get involved in one of those areas. And if it's Facebook, you know, get started in that and start developing those relationships. I think Facebook is a great way of establishing community. It can do a lot for within the church. But there's a lot of ways you can connect with people outside of church, whether it's your past college friends who may or may not attend church anymore, or especially maybe your high school friends who may or may not attend church. And there's a way to connect to those people. And there's some searches you can do on Facebook and things of that nature. And there's some even, I know that you can even do some Facebook ads that target certain areas right around your church. Scott Meyer, who Randy mentioned, was on our call a few weeks ago, talked about how his church had done some Facebook ads, which we don't have time to get into today, but those were some things that he and his church had done to expand their reach into the community. Again, if you go back and kind of, I guess, in a way of kind of closing out our conversation, and Randy, I know there's something I think you were going to mention that we want to announce, but we want to go back and remember the definition of what we call church marketing, and that is maximizing communication to get the message of Christ to the community and to the world. That is what we are all about. We're not about watering down something so that it looks good on a website and it doesn't hurt anybody's feelings and everybody's happy. We know the message is a powerful message. It can be challenging to everybody, but we think it's the greatest message to ever be told, and we want to help you maximize your communication. And so that's hopefully some of the things that we learned today about how to spice up your website using that acronym, S-P-I-C-E. And how to do that using, just real quickly, the social aspect, the participational aspect, instructional, the conversational, and finally, how kind of experience do they have on your website. So hopefully some of the things that we talked about today will be helpful in that sense. Randy, why don't you close us up?
Well, we have a couple of announcements that we're going to make. The first one is we are launching today, because of the interest that we've had, and we've had an interest ourselves. We've also had a lot of people asking us a lot of stuff about church communication and marketing strategies. It's one of the reasons we started making these calls available to you. We are excited about launching today an exclusive website simply for churches and ministries. It's all about maximizing communication, just like Donnie said. So we're excited about that. You can go to it. It's called 1429 Creative. And if you're familiar with us at all, you've heard us talk about this before. But again, you've been going, at this point when you signed up, you went over to our small business marketing site because that's all we had at the time. But now we're going to be moving all this conversation over to our new website, 1429 Creative. And I would love to be able to tell you what that is, but you've got to go to the website and figure out what 1429 is all about. And it's right there in the middle of the page that's going to be able to tell you. Go there, 1429creative.com. And it's all about maximizing communication so that we can get the message of Christ out to the community and into the world. I mean, we're just excited about having this resource available to you. We're excited about having it available to us because we have thoughts all the time that we'd like to blog about and write about and articles we'd like to share that just weren't, they didn't fit our target market on our small business marketing site. And so this gives us a venue to talk about things that we're passionate about and we love to talk about. So go there. Yeah, go ahead, Donnie.
Let me jump in, Randy, and just make sure everybody knows that we, as Randy said, we are passionate about this idea of church communication marketing strategy. And that's why we launched a separate website, 1429creative.com, to deal with that. We are still heavily involved with small businesses and nonprofits that deal with things in their marketing world. And so MarketingTwins.com is still out there. We want to encourage, if you're a business leader, a nonprofit leader, and you're confused about, are we changing our name? None of that. We are simply trying to make sure that we devote a good place for conversation, and we think 1429creative.com is a great way to do that. And so what we're going to do is start shifting all of our church marketing conversation to 1429creative.com, but certainly marketingtwins.com is still out there, and in both of those you're going to have a wealth of information for you to look at.
And exactly, and we already have a question about that. So, Cindy, we're glad you're on, and we're glad you asked that, because already on that site you're going to find the replays of all the former calls that we've had, the two previous calls we had on this are already out there on us. We've already got a couple of blog posts out there, and this replay will go up at the end of the week, hopefully. And so this is going to be the place where you're going to go. And you can know going into it, but Donnie, I would love to say that it's fully developed, and but that is a dynamic, changing website. And so there's some things out there already, but we are going to be, we just couldn't help but go ahead and launch it. So it is not complete, and it never will be, because there's this ongoing conversation about it. So please go there. Continue to go into MarketingTwins.com if you're interested more about the small business side. But if this is a place where you want a resource, inspiration, and tools, we want this to be a place you can go. So go to 1429creative.com. Okay, and actually we had three announcements. So that's one of them. The second one is, as a way of, we've been offering these kind of as a preview of what we offer, and you're going to find it on marketingtwins.com, but you'll also find it over on 1429creative.com. We offer a marketing strength training program. This is ideal. I'm not going to go into all the details. You're going to have to go there and sign up with it. But I will tell you, it's only $49, and I hope that'll be enough to get you excited about going to check out what you get, because you're getting a lot of stuff for only $49. And so,
Randy, you said $149. Is that correct?
No, Donnie. You're not listening, brother.
Yeah,
$49, and it is exciting for us to be able to offer that at a time when people are really, they're for cash, they don't have a lot to, but they still want to, it's just like going to the gym. That's why we named it what we did. We probably need to go to the gym ourselves probably after we get done with this call, but, everybody needs that good strength training. In your marketing, your communication, we all need that. We need to be, need to get fed better ideas and new ways of doing things and new systems and strategies. So this is an opportunity for you to sign up. $40, you're going to get a ton of stuff, and a lot of that is going to be based around continued coaching calls just like this on a variety of topics. It's going to help you in your church communication and marketing strategy. Okay, finally the third announcement, and I wish I could say it was all done. I wanted it to so bad. I thought we were going to get it where we could announce the date. We are in conversation with, if you're familiar, with Mike Cope. He has been the senior minister at the High Church of Christ in Abilene, Texas. Mike is now announced just recently, and starting in July, he's going to be involved with a new organization, particularly looking at ways to reach out to younger generations through social media. And we're in conversation with him right now, just trying to nail down a date. He's going to Brazil. I'm going to Africa next month. We've just got a lot of scheduling conflicts, but we're just about there. You have to watch on Twitter and Facebook and on our 1429 Creative site. We're going to be able to get that date really soon. It's going to be coming up probably in the month of July, and we're going to have him come on, and we're going to do a live broadcast with him and let him kind of talk to us what it is he's doing and understanding more about social media and how to engage, again, continuing the conversation and how to use social media for that. That you'll be excited about learning more about what Mike Cope is doing in their organization as well. He's working with Landon Saunders. If that name's familiar to you, it's a great organization. I'm excited about what they're doing. We're excited about maybe having a good conversation with him on a live broadcast. We've done Double Take live broadcasts before in the past, and it's been a few months since we've had one, and we're excited that Mike Cope is going to be our next guest. So be watching for more information about that. We're just excited that you've been able to join us today, either live or by recording, and again, to 1429creative.com and learn more information about how your church, your ministry, can have better church communication marketing strategies. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be in touch for the next broadcast.